Disc 9.
The next day, he ran into a drunken non-com. He gave an order. The non-com back-talked him, and he took out his pistol and shot the man between the eyes. The conclusion to the story goes like this, and he never had any trouble with drinking after that. Then there was the day in Normandy when Spears was walking down a road by himself and passed a group of 10 German POWs. They were under guard and were digging a roadside ditch. Spears stopped, broke out a pack of cigarettes, and gave one to each POW. They were so appreciative, he jumped into the ditch and gave them the whole pack. Then he took out his lighter and gave each one a light. He stepped back up on the road and watched them inhale and chat. Suddenly and without warning, he unslung the Thompson 45 caliber submachine gun he always carried and fired into the group. He continued raking back and forth until all the POWs were dead. The guard was stunned. Spears turned and walked away. Tom Gibson, who related this story to me, I heard it from many other sources, although no one saw it happen, commented, "I firmly believe that only a combat soldier has the right to judge another combat soldier. Only a rifle company combat soldier knows how hard it is to retain his sanity, to do his duty, and to survive with some semblance of honor. You have to learn to forgive others and yourself for some of the things that are done." Gibson said he had told the story often over the years, never naming names, but using it as an example of what can happen in war. He continued, "We all know war stories seem to have a life of their own. They have a way of growing, of being embellished. Whether the details are precise or not, there must be a kernel of truth for such a story to ever have been told the first time." Winters was not thinking about Spears and his reputation. He was watching Easy Company attack. Spears and other officers from the unengaged companies stood behind him. Winters had placed the two machine guns of HQ section to provide covering fire over the open fields sloping away in front of them, about 200 meters across from the tree line to the town line. There were some scattered trees and haystacks in the field. Standing on the spot in 1991, with Winters, Lipton, and Malarkey, when Winters indicated that he had set up one machine gun just there, pointing at my wife Moira's feet, she looked down, bent over, and picked up a 30-caliber shell casing to hand to him. The field had recently been plowed. Lieutenant Foley, who led 1st Platoon on the attack, described the situation. "We knew that Foy had not been tested the previous day or scouted last evening.